Pastor Brandon here once again, coming to you from Orlando, Florida. Please, please forgive the background noise, but it is Tuesday, January 21st, 2020, and it's time for us to go into the Word of the Lord and seek Him together. We're going to be reading today Psalm 15, Genesis 23, 1 through 24, 25. In Matthew 8, 23 through 34, we'll be starting with our psalm today. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own heart and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Genesis 23 through 24, 25. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died at Kiriath-arba, that is, Hebron, in the land of Cana. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham rose up from before his dead and said to the Hittites, I am a sojourner and foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. The Hittites answered Abraham, Hear us, my lord. You are a prince of God among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will withhold from you his tomb to hinder you from burying your dead. Abraham rose and bowed to the Hittites. If you are willing that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns. It is at the end of his field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence as property for a burying place. Now Ephron was sitting among the Hittites, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the Hittites. Of all who went in at the gate of his city, No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. In the sight of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. Then Abraham bowed down before the people of the land, and he said to Ephron, In the hearing of the people of the land, but if you will hear me, I give the price of the field, accept it from me, that I may bury my dead there. Ephron answered Abraham, My lord, listen to me. A piece of the land worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? Bury your dead. Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver that he had, named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weights current among the merchants. So the field of Ephron in Machpelah, which was to the east of Mamre, the field with the cave that was in it, and all the trees that were in the field throughout its whole area, was made over to Abraham as a possession in the presence of his city. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field and the cave that is in it were made over to Abraham as property for a burying place by the Hittites. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had, Put your hand under my thigh. that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but will go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came? Abraham said to him, see to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, to your offspring, I will give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor, and he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let your young woman, to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink, and who will say, drink, and I will water your camels. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out to her, water jar on her shoulder. The young woman was very attractive in appearance, a maiden whom no man had known. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to her to meet her and said, please give me a little water to drink from your jar. She said, drink, my lord. And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water, and she drew for all his camels. The men gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had proposed his journey or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and 2 bracelets for her arms, weighing 10 gold shekels, and said, please tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? She said to him, I am a daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. She added, we have plenty of both straw and fodder and room to spend the night. Matthew 8:23-34. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him? And when he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, 2 demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now, a herd of many pigs was feeding at some distance from them, and the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters. The herdsmen fled, and going into the city, they told everything, especially what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region. Now, for our readings today, we captured a couple of interesting moments that we see in other Gospels, in particular the Gospel of Mark. In particular, it's this moment where Jesus casts out demons from two possessed men, casts them into a herd of pigs. They rush down, all get drowned, and when the people who see this, the people who are keeping the pigs, they run the town, and then the people come back all out, and they don't want Jesus to be around. They're too afraid to have Jesus around. And what we got to ask is, why the difference in the story? If you recall, in Mark's gospel, there was only one man. And there are multiple reasons for this discrepancy. One, the gospel writers all share some of the same stories. In fact, it is commonly believed that Mark came first. And then Matthew and Luke both used Mark as kind of a guideline, as a starting point to write their gospels. John would come much later, but the point is that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what are known as the three synoptic gospels, come at different times. Mark coming first, Matthew and Luke coming second and third. This is why you see a lot of Mark in both Matthew and Luke. Well, once again, why the discrepancy? Well, the disciples of Jesus are telling the story of Jesus from their perspective. And you'll see more discrepancies like this in the synoptic gospels. They're giving their account of events. Everyone sees events differently. Now you can ask, well, how do you get an extra person? Well, one of the things we need to recognize is Matthew wasn't a disciple yet. He hadn't been called by Jesus yet. Matthew was still just a tax collector at this time. He may have heard about this story from another disciple. He may have heard about it from another person. The point is, Matthew actually wasn't physically there in this particular instance of Jesus' life. He came along later, which I believe we're going to read about tomorrow. But that's why there's some certain discrepancies here and there. And then Matthew and Luke both take Mark and expand upon his stories. They expand upon it to give us a better perspective of everything that was going on around Jesus at the time that he does these miraculous things. But that's why you'll find these slight discrepancies. And you want to know what? To me, it makes the gospel just have that much more authority. It makes the gospel have that much more power. Because when you put three guys in a room and you're questioning them, they give you an eyewitness testimony of something, and they give you all the exact same story, verbatim, word for word, that would be suspicious. But the fact that we get three different perspectives of the account of Jesus' life, that isn't suspicious, my friends, my brothers and sisters. That right there makes it all the more true. God bless you all. Can't wait to talk with you again tomorrow, Wednesday.